last of 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Finney Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and Catholic Church pedophilia, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. And my very special guest. Ooh, man, I'm not feeling too well. I've been up really, really early these last 2 days to do other people's radio shows, and I remember one time a guy was accusing me of ignoring him because he was messaging me at like 4:20 in the morning, asking for permission for asking for details about the show and where it's streaming and stuff like that. I was asleep, bro, you know. and that's the interesting thing when you're on the other side of the world, is that people don't understand time zones. Trust me, I've tried. I've had many, many people, particularly Americans, attempt to work out what the New Zealand time zone is. To date, only one person out of hundreds has gotten it correct. Don't bother. Right, my very special guest, Dr. Mark Serkis, OMD, Oriental Medicine Doctor. Welcome back. Now, we wanted to talk about sexual trauma and how to heal that puppy. Could you please give us a background on what is sexual trauma, firstly?
Well, this takes us right down to the root of sex, and what it really is.
So to speak.
Since we were born and created from sexuality, somehow the sexuality has such a basic and primordial part of creating our existence, that when you hurt somebody's sexuality, when you attack it, abuse it, what you're doing is you're attacking a person on their deepest vulnerability. You're going down to their soul and you're taking a baseball bat and you're knocking the shit out of them.
We can't say that on FCC-regulated radio. I apologize to the affiliates and listeners, but hopefully you're over 18 and you can be adult about it. Sorry, Mark, continue. Mark, are you there? We appear to have lost him. Okay. Isn't that interesting how the guest gets knocked off as soon as he violates FCC regulations? There must be a conspiracy afoot here somewhere. I also wanted to talk about this sexual trauma, because I've met a number of people who have suffered rape, molestation, even as children, and that none of them have fully gotten over it. None of them. Which is why I think it's so important to learn about how to heal sexual trauma, because it's that hard to get off. You know, the reason why nobody wants to talk about this is because it's so intensely personal. Okay, it's horrific. Children being raped? Who wants to talk about that? Nobody. Okay? You know, there's pedophile scum out there who want to do it, but they never talk about it. And the people who it happens to are so damaged, so ashamed, so in pain, that to talk about it brings all these things back to the surface. And the problem with that, I find, is there's little reprieve, okay? I don't know how much counselling it takes, and Mark seems to have dropped off completely now off of Skype, so maybe the Illuminati are messing with us, because this is something that the Illuminati are really, really into. And I used the term Illuminati loosely, of course, because I believe, based upon interviews with a number of individuals around the globe, that there is a global pedophile network that is so powerful that anybody who tries to expose it and becomes successful at exposing it, or has first-hand experience with this and has credibility still intact after all the demonization and things of that nature, is often killed by these people. This is the dealing. This is what we're dealing with at the end of the day. A horrific global system. It's not just isolated, okay? They control a number of elements. And Mark Serkis is back. Adam, can you bring him back up, please? Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm producing on air here. The element that is most disturbing to me is not just the fact that it's going on, but the fact that it's so powerful that it's capable of covering itself up all the time. This is really terrible. And on top of that, the damage that they do to people, children, they are also involved in large quantities of human trafficking. DynCorp, I believe, was taken to court over something like this before. I'm just trying to try and bring up Dr. Serkis now. Here we go. Doesn't seem to be working. Okay, still having technical problems there. Bring him back. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for this, because we're talking about a really important issue, and then naturally there's a cutout here, because this is the topic that the New World Order doesn't want discussed. But then again, Mark is in Brazil, so it might just be a connection issue there. And we're not having any response from the board or anything like that, having massive technical issues. So, you know, if it's a coincidence, it's an extremely fracking suspicious one. Okay? Dig this. You know how they get away with it? You know why they're capable of kidnapping and disappearing hundreds of thousands of children, 400,000 children a year? In the United States alone, disappear. Those of you who've been living in the United States for a while, you might remember once upon a time they used to have children's pictures on milk bottles. And they're not on those milk bottles anymore. You know why? Because there's not enough milk bottles. Seriously. That is how bad the situation is. It's no different in England. United States got 400 million. They get about 400,000 missing kids a year. England has only 40 million, and they have 100,000 kids missing every year. It's rampant. If you Google Holly Gregg, G-R-E-I-G, I believe, she was a child with Down syndrome, and she was hired out by local pedophiles to the elite of her particular town there. Okay? She was passed around like a bag of Skittles to all these filth. The lawyers, the doctors, so on and so forth. So when we talk about sexual trauma, and Dr. Mark is back with us, welcome. When we talk about sexual trauma, understand that it is not an isolated thing, that it is global, that it has massive implications for humanity, and indeed is an integral part of the elite. They believe, they actually believe, that by raping small children, that they harvest their essence and can live longer and with more vitality. It's a real satanic business. And so that's why I'm so glad, because this is actually my pet issue. I don't talk about it very often because those who talk about it all the time start to get some of the trauma onto them, all right? Because you can't feel empathy for those who are suffering sexual trauma at the hands of a scumbaggery elite without starting to get trauma, all right? It's actually traumatic to even discuss this issue in a lot of cases, which I incidentally think is probably one of the reasons why a lot of people don't talk about it at all. All right, so, Dr. Mark, welcome back. So could you please I was just explaining about the international pedophile rings and human trafficking and sexual trauma and how bad it really is for people and how it's really difficult for them to heal or even discuss or talk about it. But you were you were cut off just at that point, which I thought was a little bit suspicious. But anyway, here you are. You're back. Could you please continue your experience? Your explanation of what sexual trauma actually is. The last thing you said was bashing the Shiite Muslim out of somebody's soul with a baseball bat by penetrating them.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, rape, you know, is a rape of the soul because our sexuality is connected to our soul. It goes that deep. It's not just a physical thing. We created in it. God created this sexuality, this energy, and life gets, you know, these miracles come from it. So to attack it is to attack God, is to attack everything that's beautiful and holy. And so when that does happen, and it happens, you know, in families, I mean, 30%, when you look at 30% of women are, and that's probably a conservative figure, but that's kind of official, 30% have been abused or raped. And a lot of that, a big percentage, that is in the home. Most women who've been raped are raped by somebody they know. In the statistics, it's not strangers who do most of the raping. It's people when the most violent place is the family. And for women and children, the chances of being attacked increases in the home, especially in America. It's pathetic. The whole thing is, everything that's happened around sexuality and what it's done to family life and human relationships. I mean, we need to do another show where we get into, you know, satanic, black, dark. I mean, there are kinds of people on this planet where a psychopath doesn't quite cover it. I mean, there's even, or you really look at the definition of psychopath.
I think you'll be surprised what a psychopath will cover.
No, actually, I've written about it, so I do. I know. It's, you know, it's beastly. It's the opposite of exactly my work. You know, this marriage of the soul, heart health. Now, I am who I am because through two decades of effort, I literally, my heart conquered my mind. You know, when I was a young guy, I was an arrogant, you know, idiot. And conceptual and thinking, and, you know, like, so complicated. And about 35 years ago, I went to this place called, 30 years ago, University of the Trees in California. And somebody looked at me and said to me, I was there a couple of weeks, there's a community. They looked at me and they said, oh, you have a big heart. And I literally turned around, looked behind me, and tried to see what they were talking about. I really didn't understand myself, my own heart. Anyway, from that point, through two decades of suffering and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I literally conquered my mind by opening up my heart to this incredible, you know, open state. I'm like one of the most open people on the planet, and I show it. I mean, you can go to my site and read about what I have to say about just about anything, from sex to love and marriage to medicine, oncologists, you know, psychopaths. I mean, I cover it all, and I speak kind of with a brutal honesty. That's where I don't know where I'm going at this point. But
well, okay. Well, let's go on because I think we've covered what sexual trauma is, and I've covered psychopaths yesterday on the show, and I just covered very briefly about the global pedophile network. There's only one thing I want from you, only one thing, and please give it to me as succinctly as you can. How can you heal sexual trauma? Because I know a lot of people who are sexually traumatized, and I've always tried to help them, but I can't. I don't know how.
Well, let me tell you what I created, which got me into this in the beginning. I was living in Gainesville, Florida, about 23 or 4 years ago. And all of a sudden, a series of women came to me, one after another, one at a time, all with, you know, exactly this problem. They were either raped or sexually abused as children, whether it be by an uncle or father, a stranger, whatever. And what I did was I would put these women into a trance. And then what I would do is while I was putting them into a trance, I would close my eyes and listen to myself, and I'd put myself into a trance. So then the two of us were in a kind of this trance. And then I would direct the woman to their heart and to go back, or go to the place inside themselves where they needed to go. And instantly, every time it worked exactly the same, the woman would go right back to the trauma, and then we would process that together. I wouldn't be controlling like a therapist or a hypnotherapist. I would be in a trance. So if the woman was sitting on the stoop in front of their door after they'd been raped or something and crying, I was sitting there next to them in like astral form. Our imaginations were connected in the trance and our hearts. And there were some women that I did this for like 2 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week for like, you know, a week or 10 days. You know, there was one woman who was like a marathon. And to get to the end of a story and really get healing, it really takes a lot of courage, and it's very difficult because it's the hurt is so deep. I mean, when I tell you this really reaches down to the soul, when you work with somebody, or you know, when you see the person suffering, the suffering it causes them, they live with their suffering. Here we are on this planet, and the person's been, you know, hurt sexually, and they suffer. It's not a joke. It's not a light thing, and it can't be covered up by pornography, and, you know. So it's... I had these experiences back then, and it, of course, changed me, you know, to go so deep with women. And in those days, actually, I conquered my feminine side before I conquered my masculine side. I was more of a woman back in those years than the women. I would cry more easily. I would communicate better. I'd listen better. I was, you know, I'd stay home and do the cooking. I did the whole trip. And getting that intimate with women and their hurt and abuse is just...
It's like some. I've seen that the trauma actually spills over, and you can't. Ooh. It's like the old adage that you can't go to hell without bringing some of it back with you. And speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, you're about to experience the hell of American Freedom Radio ad breaks, and hopefully we'll bring back some of it with us. Back in a minute at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're talking about a very intense subject here, and one thing that I've noticed about sexual trauma as well is that as a man, when you talk to a woman about it, this wall comes up because it was a man that did it to her. And it's. Have you ever heard a woman say, "You don't understand because you're a man"?
Oh, sure. Sure.
That's frustrating.
I've been married 5 times, man.
Then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or maybe exactly. You don't, because you're a man. Okay. Bringing back on the serious note, you said that you were capable of helping these women, but it took a marathon, intensive effort, incredible empathy, day after day, and in some cases taking a couple of weeks for hours at a time, trying to relive all of this until it gets out. Now, in illness, like a friend of mine, he once had a problem with his eye, and he couldn't see out of it. And his partner was like the country's top herbalist, so he started giving him these herbal remedies and juice fasting and so on and so forth. And what happened is this gunk started coming out of his eye. This pus started squeezing out of the corner of his eyeball, and it just kept coming out and coming out. And he was surprised just at how much of it there was, until eventually it was all gone. And he could see again. And I feel that the sexual trauma, the psychological business, is not entirely dissimilar to that. You have to get that pus out of your system, and you'll be surprised how much there is and how long it takes. Is that a fair assessment of the situation?
It's part of my book. You know, I said it was the love and sex medicine book is four books. Actually, five. My work, my writings about sexual cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, uterus cancer, all these cancers have, you know, that are around the sexual organs have sexual stress as part of their etiology. I mean, almost all cancers have, you know, the sexual angle is important. But when it comes to certain cancers, it becomes more critical of a person's sexuality and what's happening. So this is, you know, like, it's not only emotional suffering that comes from our dysfunctional sexualities and our sexual hurt, but it's actual cancer, too. So this is, you know, doubly serious business. This is really serious. And yes, it takes an incredible effort, but at least it did for me to help these women, you know, back then, you know, when I was a much younger man. And it did have a great change on me. Today, well, that's what I'm basically writing the book. I'm finally putting this all out. And how it also relates to our most intimate relationships, which we tend to mess up big time. You know, not the most successful. Modern man is not the most successful at loving relationships that last. You know, it's like this is. So it's. There's so much I would say. Want to say? You know, if we were talking to a woman who's hurt or a man. The hard thing about, you know, talking about it right now is there's so much we would need to say. Or there's so many things I would say to substitute for part of that process. Because, first of all, it's hard. Very few people have the money to spend, to pay somebody so much to do that kind of work. And then professionals aren't any good at doing this kind of work because professionals, psychologists, for instance, they're trained to do the exact opposite. What you need to do. They're trained to be cool. They're trained to not really share much about themselves and their own vulnerabilities. They're trained to separate and keep a professional distance from their clients. In fact, professional psychologists, they're terrified of meeting a patient anywhere outside of their office. I mean, this is just like taught in the schools and stuff. So they're not, you know, taught to form a union with their patient. And to heal on a sexual level, you really got to get close. And I'm not, really, I mean, you have to, and that's what happened when I would do that trance therapy. When you both, two people are in trance, there's no ego, there's no separation. And the woman feels that. They feel it's, you know, like when I can again remember sitting on the front step of a person's house, a little girl, and being there with them. It was just like, you know, they could feel it. They could feel my presence because I would communicate while they were in trance with their eyes closed. We would speak. I would encourage. I would ask them questions, and they would share with what they were seeing, what was happening.
There's that scraping again.
Oh.
You're going to hold your microphone again. Sorry.
I have it around my neck.
Really?
Yeah, this time I don't know what happened.
Okay. Well, anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Well, it's a magic you do. Every time you open, you say something, confront me about it, and it goes away. So that's just cancer.
Yeah, must be a psychological thing.
Yeah, so.
It's all in your minds, ladies and gentlemen. There's no real scratching, okay? There is no band, and yet we hear a band.
You know, when you talk about empathy, you know, what's the ultimate in empathy? When you're so one with the other person, and if that person's hurting, you got to be very strong. you got to be very strict. To go in there, it's like, you know, to go into somebody else's hurt. Because none of us is not, I mean, you have to get pretty enlightened to be beyond your hurt. It takes a lot for anybody to get beyond their own individual hurt. And then to help somebody else. You know, it's a big-time job. But, some people are heroes, you know, like those guys, 19 guys who died, you know, fighting fires. Sometimes we have to fight a fire in the soul of another person, you know, and there are people who are willing to do that. But the professionals aren't that one. They're trained to do the opposite.
Sometimes, Mark, some people have accused me of being unprofessional, and my response to that is, the world is currently run by professionals. Right. How's that working out for you?
It's true. It's true. That's exactly what we have. They're like guilds. Mm-hmm. These professional guilds. They're terrorist guilds.
Feel guilty.
It's amazing that their basic concepts are so twisted. And in the textbooks, in the universities. It's just amazing. It really is an amazing planet. Modern civilization is, well, I don't think it's destined to last too long. Not with all these nuclear power plants around the world. Now with just one of them, already a long-term trend. Fukushima is, you know, for sure toast with the Northern Hemisphere. I mean, and, you know, there's 400 or 500 more of these things around. And things are breaking down. You know, you can look at the news. Things are happening. The weather's getting more extreme, damaging things, destroying things. Volcanoes are blowing, the earthquakes shake. Everything's changing and having, you know, stronger impact. So we have a lot of vulnerability, just like a woman's or a man's sexuality. You know, the planet, what we've done, is, you know, having these time bombs everywhere. And people are, you're crazy. The people who are leading the show, these are neurotic, sick people with the button nearby. Yes. So lucky we still have a planet with these people running this. Really lucky.
Well, I think it's just, you know, it's hard to find the words because we're dealing with something that is so traumatic, it is far more than words, is it not?
Far, yeah.
Words do not compare.
I do a good job when I'm writing, you know, I can present a chapter to somebody. You know, I've written deep things about suffering. The Russians are wonderful philosophers, the old ones at least, of understanding suffering. I suffered for decades with my own ego shit.
There's that FCC violating language again. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
I'm trying. Gotta watch yourself.
Vincent, you're very tough.
Well, you can say anything on the show except FCC regulated words. It's really sad, you know. There's these 7 words that you can't say on TV or radio or whatever. And, you know, this is supposed to be America, a nation of free speech, right? And you've got people that regulate what people can and can't frickin' say, and they still say that, oh, we're the greatest country in the world because we've got free speech. Well, I just wanted to say a big message to the FCC, and it's 2 letters. F you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, but Vincent, you're really giving me a feeling, you know, it's, I don't talk to people about these things very much, not these years. And even when I'm writing, I'm pretty much alone. So, of course, I'm dealing with all these issues in my relationship, my marriage, my family, the whole trip. But when I hear talking to you and hear you talk, you know, it is beyond words. If you were to sum up the suffering that's happening on this planet with 7 billion souls, and all the suffering from the sexual stuff, which is so key, it's incalculable. It's It's an ocean. It's an ocean of suffering.
Hmm.
It's very personal to everybody.
Even to discuss it, even with empathy, even with a big heart, there are those who are so traumatized that to hear about it, it's like we're doing it to them all over again, and they hate people like us for even bringing it up because it brings all of the stuff back to the surface. It makes it even worse for them.
You think so?
Yeah. Like, I was talking in a car one time, and a friend of Sarah's had been raped once upon a time, and I was talking about a guy that I interviewed that day where his one-month-old daughter was raped by Child Protective Services overnight. And she got incredibly angry with me and started yelling at me and things like that, as if to very mention the subject, brought it up for her again.
Well, it's just a measure of their pain. It's so painful.
Yeah.
It's so painful. It's so painful. I never met a person who did not have some. Everybody had some trauma in this area. Right? Not too many. I do know maybe one or two, maybe sexually enlightened people, but seems to be a rare thing. Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think gold is a rare element. Gold is a rare element, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable.
I met this 80 patient of mine, 80-year-old woman. She turned me on to the OM movement. Have you heard of them, the OM people?
No.
From San Francisco. OM stands for Orgastic Meditation. And there's a woman guru now in San Francisco, New York. I saw this video maybe 6 months ago. from this movement. And it shows this couple coming in to talk to this woman, who's this sexual guru. And then she brings this couple into a room. They sit down. And then comes another couple. And the woman has no clothes on from her waist down, and she lays down on these special pillows. And the man comes in, sits down next to her, puts her in exactly a certain position, and proceeds, and this is on video on YouTube, and proceeds to stroke her clitoris for 13 minutes exactly in a certain way. And I couldn't even watch the whole video without getting up and going to see my staff in my house in Jean Passau or wherever. And I never saw something sexual showed with such lack of shame, so it was pretty amazing. And in August, I guess, this group is going to have an event, their first conference, and they have a room with 1,000 of these, they call them nests. And they're going to put 2,000 people in this room, and they're going to do this exercise together. And it's like a new religion type of thing. I'm not sure. I've written about it. I think that there's some very brave people, but maybe some foolish people, too. I'm not sure. But there's some pretty big thing. And even to write about. But this 80-year-old, the point is, this 80-year-old woman turned me on to this group and told me they're doing reasonably good work. Mm. She liked it. So I investigated them.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this coming break here. And I'm actually going to play a clip from a TV show called Scrubs. It's a comedy show, but this clip is actually, it's not about comedy. It's about trauma and what doctors go through when they're suffering everybody else's. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. It's our final segment here, and I'm just going to play this quick 40-second clip. This is Dr. Cox from Scrubs talking here, and I don't watch the show very often. In fact, I haven't actually seen an episode in years. I was never really a big follower of it. But for some reason, you know how synchronicity happens. You're there right at the moment when you should have been listening, where you should have seen this particular speech in this particular episode through channel flipping. So I just want to play this for you now. Hope it works.
You see Dr. Wen in there? He's explaining to that family that something went wrong and that the patient died. He's going to tell them what happened, he's going to say he's sorry, and then he's going back to work. You think anybody else in that room's going back to work today? That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun. But mostly it's the getting by thing.
All right, now this illustrates, I think, precisely what we were discussing earlier, Mark, about how professionals distance themselves from their patients, and this is the very reason why you can't experience this trauma without and try and be empathetic and try and feel it without it leaving an imprint on you, and to do it day in, day out, as doctors and psychiatrists do. They develop this professional mechanism of not letting it get to them. There's a consequence to that, is that they don't get through to their patients in a lot of cases. What would you say about that?
Oh, not sure. Not sure.
Because I would figure if psychiatrists or in fact, psychiatry itself, where's the article? Here it is. Out of the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, ladies and gentlemen. Psychiatry now officially insane. Okay? Reputable medical journal coming out of New Zealand. Psychiatry now officially insane. And the problem is that if you're trying to get counselling and trying to become at one and at peace with your trauma, having an insane person doesn't quite cut the mustard for it, does it? And all they want to do is dope you up on drugs anyway. You know, oh, you've got trauma. Well, instead of spending a couple of weeks intensively going through all this stuff, really feeling it, crying and imparting this wisdom, sharing part of yourself with people, that kind of thing, instead of doing that, they just dope you up.
You're talking about a special type of darkness that comes from psychiatry. It's a very ugly darkness. It's like rape, you know, on the sexuality. It's a rape on another level. These guys are, well, I don't really want to talk about it because it needs such sick words, you know, and a big vocabulary of sick words to do justice to the subject, because you're just touching on it. It's really, it's hard to even think about it. It's easier to write about it.
Yeah. Well, we only
we're at this place where words just don't really cover it, what they're doing.
Try and describe it, because I'll tell you what, this is one of my innate talents. Somebody can tell me a subject matter, somebody can tell me a story, and I can find the words that convey precisely what's going on. This is one of my gifts, and yeah, I'm very grateful.
I just don't know if I can control my mouth. See, when I start speaking about certain things, you know, I get a little excited, and I could even get angry because it's really, really, and I don't know if really can control my vocabulary like you can. You know, the same thing I deal with medicine. You know, you take, you know, a loved one and you take them to an oncologist. You know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, a person's life is on the line, And who is this person who's sitting on the other side of the desk? Well, you know, the psychiatrist, you know, he's supposed to be there for you, for your mental and emotional and even spiritual, whatever, well-being, because that applies to mental, emotional. And what they do, they, you know, it's a little bit like a little girl comes home and gets into bed, and then her father gets into bed, you know, later on at night and rapes her. It's a little bit like that. I guess it gets into the everything about civilized man and our society. Is you have a situation where people trust others, and those others are raping the, you know, that trust right back. Whether it be a little girl, her sexuality, a little boy, her sexuality, or a young woman, or an older woman. I mean, they rape 80-year-old women, you know, so it doesn't stop with age. You know, when you go to a psychiatrist, what are you going to a psychiatrist for? Well, obviously some help. You're not going in there to brush your teeth or to get your hair cut. And what do they do to you? They kick you in the ass chemically. I mean, but not just a little bit. I mean, it's like, in terms of what their drugs do, it's like you might as well go back to the Middle Earth and one of these things that they knock down the gates with, you know, the battering rams. You know, these chemical drugs just come in and destroy the person, and many of them are responsible for some of these mass killings, and that information is out there. So, you know, who's doing the killing? Is it these psychiatrists with their drugs? These incredibly nasty drugs. I mean, marijuana, you know, in a million years, these souls are burned forever. These guys could never make back, you know, with the pain they're causing other people. I mean, does that begin to cover it?
I think it does. And what I find is it seems like a hopeless situation, because when you're in it and you don't have the information, you don't understand the situation, if you're trying to reconcile, why did this happen to me? Why did they do that? Why? And you never get an answer. You keep running yourself around in circles, and your brain starts to eat itself. It starts to eat away at your own heart, and you start to become destroyed as a person. And then the people that are supposed to help you are only there to hurt you even further. And then you start to wonder, you know, why did I even go for help in the first place? And then they stop asking for help. They stop seeking it. And they start to get this impression that nobody cares about me. Nobody will ever help me. And so they stop talking about it. They stop getting it out there. And when they tell their family and their friends about it, they don't want to hear about it because it's too painful for them to deal with. And they say, you should go see a professional about this, a professional that doesn't care, who will give you something that will make you a psychotic killer in the middle of the night and make you act out your nightmares, like the woman who was terribly afraid of drowning, who in the middle of the night, while she was sleepwalking, drowned all five of her children in the bathtub. You know? This kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's literally, I say this literally, hell on earth. It's hell. That is hell. These people are living in hell, and hell probably does not get much worse than that.
Yeah, well, hell would be better, because at least you know you're not the only one suffering.
Oh, right,
and there's other people there with you, and you can hear their cries, and you know that you're not alone. This is a special kind of hell. This is a special prison inside your own mind, right, where all the trauma and all the pain reverberates forever, without end, with a hopeless situation that you call life. And this is why there is so much suicide prevalent amongst victims of sexual abuse. This is why people not only lose hope, but they begin to blame all humanity for this thing that happened to them. This is why so many serial killers are people that had sexual trauma in their life. This is a big subject. with many ins and outs. None of them, none of these ins and outs are things that you want to hear, but you must. I believe that there are no great lessons without great pain and great trauma. And if you ever wanted to learn a lesson of value, you need to feel that pain. You need to feel that trauma. That's why I feel so strongly about this particular subject, because when people tell me about these experiences that have happened to them, I try actively to feel as intensely as I can how they felt. And as such, I begin to understand it. And as I understand it, and as I relay to them some of my personal experience that I can relate to what they're telling me, they feel better about it. Because unlike the last 100 people they talk to, finally, somebody's actually listening. Somebody actually cares. Somebody actually feels something for me. That is the power each and every single one of us has to help people with sexual trauma. If you choose to shut off, if you choose to close up, then I think that you're just as culpable in a lot of ways as the people who traumatized them in the first place. Dr. Mark Serkis, thank you very much for your time. What is your website? Very quickly, we've only got about 10 seconds.
DrSerkis.com. That's DrSircus.com.
Thank you for your time, your efforts, and your wisdom. And we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you take this message to heart. We'll see you again.